go open up to the book of Ephesians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a section, this is really kind of continuing on from this morning service. So while we're going to Ephesians, so look at 4 again. I'm just going to read you some verses. And then we're going to get into tonight's portion. So Ephesians 4, this seems to be the launching off point every time now for getting our mind going down this right path again. Are you about getting convinced like I am that we're going to have to renew our minds? Are you seeing it that all over now, not just in Ephesians, but in Romans, and we're going to look at it now in 2 Corinthians tonight. Everywhere you go, this transformation, God did for us what was impossible. None of us could change our spots. You know, can the leopard change his spots? Man could not change his nature. So God, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, has made it possible for man's nature to be changed at our core. But it did not, when that happened, that did not cause your mind to be renewed at that instant. And we're finding out now, you can have that new nature for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and still, if you do not submit your mind to be taught by God, to be taught by that nature, be taught by His Word, you can still be on your way to heaven, trusting totally in the blood of Jesus, and be on your way, but transformation-wise, you not be changed very much. And we're not talking only about, you know, personality traits to be more like Jesus. Well, I want to be more like Him in my personality, don't you? I don't want to be easily offended. I don't want to be, harsh and rude and losing my temper and all that kind of stuff. But let's go way beyond there. We want to be the people that find our calling, find the gifting for our calling. We want to be the people at this church. We know that we've been given an assignment to really press all the way into a supernatural revival, where God can just have His way through us, you know, and have the same things that happened in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John happen today. Well, we're finding out that the new birth alone is not what causes that transformation. It's by the renewing of your mind. So let's launch off again here in our verses. The first step is to put off that old man. Even though miracles do not proceed from the new nature, see, the first level of leadership in Romans 8, where it says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And most people think that's, because it's a capital S there, that that's the Holy Spirit. That's not talking about. Now, there is a leadership that comes from the Holy Spirit. But that leadership it's talking about there, in the context, is talking about the new nature you received when you got born again. And through that new nature, by following it, you mortified the deeds of the body. It's talking about holiness. It's talking about our walk. Amen? Well, Ephesians here is primarily talking about the same thing, that you no longer walk like the other Gentiles walk. Why? How do they walk? In the vanity of their mind, in the darkness that's in their understanding, being blinded from the truth. Here he says, the way that you do that, he says, verse 22, he says, I want you to put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And one more time, he's not saying, make that old man do better. He could have written it that way. No, put him off. That's the one that died in Christ. When it says you were baptized into Christ's death in Romans 6, that's the guy that got baptized right there. That old Adamic man was baptized into Christ's death. You don't have to wear that stinking guy like a dead man on your back. He's dead. Put him off. Okay? Then he says, put on the new man, verse 24. That's the one that God created, that new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new species. You have been born from the dead, from that old dead species of Adam. And there's a new nature on the inside of us. That man, if we put him on, he is created in righteousness and true holiness. But the bridge to doing that, how do I put him off? How do I put him on? How do I accomplish this? Right there it is. It's the verse in between those two. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. While you're turning there, I'm going to remind you of some verses I read this morning. Another witness to this same truth, as you know, is Romans 12, 2, where it says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. There it is again. Doesn't say by the renewing of your spirit. It says by the renewing of your mind. And by that process, you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. All right? And then this morning we went to Romans 8, and it says plainly, for to be carnally minded is death. As long as your mind is still thinking carnally, still thinking like the old man, and it's really bad if you have preachers helping you do that, by standing up there telling you you're still just an old sinner saved by grace, you know, you're still a carnal thing. No, you're not a carnal thing. You're the offspring of God in your spirit. You're wearing a carnal body, all right, but your mind has to be renewed to think like the new creature you really are. Otherwise, you're going to continue to walk like that old man. All right? But he says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is enmity against God. As long as our mind stays unrenewed, notice, it said it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. I want to walk holy and righteous, but I don't want to go through the process of renewing my mind. I'm just going to leave my mind carnal, but I'm going to walk righteous. It says it's not possible. As long as your mind is still has the thought patterns in it, the strongholds in it, the wrong doctrines in it, if as long as it thinks the old carnal way, it cannot be subject to the law of God. Isn't that strong? That's why it tells us, exhorts us again and again, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The transformation, he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of the mind. There it is again. All right, now we're going to look at it here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 to 9. And actually we'll start in verse 3, another real familiar passage. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not, here we go, they're not what? Remember that carnally minded thing a while ago? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. All right, before we even go any farther, let's just fess up. There be strongholds in the land. If that wasn't the case, we'd already be in revival. Because God's not holding it back from us. He's trying to... I feel like the prayer center is like this garden hose, if you'll allow me. God's trying to water His garden. And there's a pipeline, a water hose from heaven. He's trying to get this revival through this hose. But it's us, with our wrong thinking and our unbelief and our strongholds. We're clogging up the pipeline. It's not like He's not trying to push it through. I think He is trying to push it through. Well, how do you deal with Him? He says, well, one thing about it, whatever weapons it is you're going to use, the end result, what are they going to do? They're going to pull down strongholds. Strongholds would be wrong doctrine. And let's take it further than that, because you just tend to think religious. Let's take Gary again. He's always mean to me and nice to you. Is that okay? I described in detail again this morning during that period of time where I knew the Bible said I was free from the flesh, free from, yet I was still smoking, and I could not for the life of me understand. Gary, why do you keep picking on that one? Because it's the one I went through. If it was something else, I'd use that, but that's the one I went through, okay? So I've got a stronghold. Here I am. What is the truth? You have been made free from sin. Okay? What does my stronghold preach to me? You're not free. You are free. How can you, who's been made free, serve sin any longer? And I'm going, I don't know, but I am. And so, God's Word would preach to me, but then when I try and act on the Word and try and stop, something else preached to me, and that's called withdrawal, strong, big time, saying, you're not free, bet you, we're going to kill you dead. You're going to die in 30 minutes if you don't, you know, I mean, now if you ever want to go through that yourself, just fast for a few days. And it's not any time at all. Your body says, if you don't go get that cheeseburger right now, you're going to die. You know, you're going to die. You know, it starts negotiating with you, you know, and it'll start lying to you. You don't have to get the bacon cheeseburger. Just get the little cheeseburger. Just the 99-cent cheeseburger. And I'll leave you alone. That liar, it won't leave you alone. It's going to want fries right after that. Then it's going to want a strawberry shake after that. It's going to keep right on, see? Well, strongholds. We all have them. Now, God's word isn't going to change. See, how do you pull down the stronghold? When I first went to Dave over this problem many years ago when we first came, I talked to him. I said, well, what do you do? Do you just use old plain old-fashioned willpower? Is that what it is? You know, you just, I bless God, I'm going to use my, like O.R. taught me, and just when it's too hard for everybody else, it's just right for me, and I just buck up against this thing and just use willpower. And Dave says, well, yeah, you can. You'll have some results, too. You might stop that. But let me ask you a question, and I can't remember now exactly what he asked me, but it was something like this. He says, well, but now what do you want? Do you want to start... I can't remember exactly what he said. He might have said, do you want to start molesting children or beating your wife? And that was, what? That's so foreign to me, you know? And he was just using examples. He says, look, you through human willpower, you can cut the fruit of that tree off. Whatever it is in you that's... But he says, if you don't deal with the root, you may deal with smoking, but that same root is still in you. And it's going to manifest some other way. With some people, they wind up getting a divorce pretty soon after they quit, because that whatever was being dissipated through that habit when they cut it off, now it's manifested through their temper. Or it could be something else. He says, willpower is good. You should use willpower. You know, it's like I always say, if you're an axe murderer, you've been an axe murderer for 20 years. When you repent, we don't suggest that you cut down. I only killed 2 people this week. Killed 3 people last week, and I'm doing better. You got willpower, in other words, has its place. But he says, ultimately, you've got to deal with the root of the tree. You've got to deal with it. That's the spiritual... See, we're talking about not just... We're talking about pulling down the stronghold. Eliminating the stronghold. Let's say it this way. A stronghold is like a castle. That castle sits on land. That land that it's sitting on is land you're supposed to be enjoying. It's promised land that God gave to you. But as long as you believe what you believe, you can never enjoy that land. And the enemy is going to occupy it. Let's say it this way. Let's just say someone has... Let's take a simple stronghold that nobody in here would be affected with. Let's say somebody believes, because they've been taught, that tongues are not for today. Now, you all know better than that, don't you? For benefit of the message, there are actually people sitting here. They're being really quiet. You know? But see, there's people that's in that stronghold. What tongues has passed away? I was in it for years. What is the purpose of the enemy regarding that stronghold? He's trying to keep me from ever enjoying the benefits or participating of all the benefits that come from praying in other tongues. And as long as I have a stronghold in my mind that says tongues has passed away, tongues is not for today, that stronghold is occupying ground that I should be enjoying. I had to go through a period of retraining, not here at the prayer center, but years ago with the guy that led me to the Lord. I had to go through a period of retraining myself because I was taught that tongues had passed away. Tongues was of the devil. I had to go through the word. Now, the weapons that I used, I'll tell you plainly, it was the word of God. I started going through there. I found out Jesus said, those that believe in my name, they'll speak with new tongues. Paul said, forbid not to speak with tongues. And I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than y'all. And he that speaks in another tongue edifies himself. I found all these verses, and I start going, well, now, wait a minute. Paul says we should speak in tongues. Jesus said we should speak in tongues. The only one telling me I shouldn't preach it, speak in tongues, is this pastor. I'm going to go with Jesus and Paul. Okay? I'm going to go with what the Word of God says. And through that process, I tore down that stronghold and I came to a place where I possessed that land now. It'd be the same in healing. If you've been taught, or if there's a stronghold in you that makes you think that healing is passed away, that supernatural healing is not for today, then that's ground, that's part of your promised land that God intends for you to have, for you to eat the fruit of, that grows on that land. But as long as you have that stronghold there, you can't partake, you can't participate in the, you can't eat the fruit that's growing in that land. Now, in our case, primarily what we're talking about is a land of revival. So we have God's Word as much as we have on that, as much as we have on anything else. Jesus said, those that believe on me, John 14:12, those that believe on me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father. over in his high priestly prayer in John 17, he says, Father, the same way that you sent me, I'm now sending them. Well, how did the Father send them? Send him. Well, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The same way that God sent him, Jesus has sent us. You can see it even when his earthly ministry of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when he sent out the 70, what did he tell them to do? Just go preach? No. Cast out devils. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. And then, if they won't hear you, shake the dust off. What I'm trying to get is this. The only reason we're not enjoying the fruit of revival, the problem's not with God. The problem is not something to do with His timing, like it's not His timing. Now, He knows when we're finally going to believe. He knows everything. It's not like He doesn't know when it's going to start. But it's not like He's withholding it either. He's waiting on us to tear down the strongholds. Well, let's look at these a little more here. So, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 again. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. The Greek word there is logismos. L-O-G-I-S-M-O-S. Before we get the word logic, it is reasonings. But there's a flavor to it. These imaginations, these strongholds, they're systems of thought that are empowered by emotions. You got that? In other words, it's not just something you believe. You've got an emotion behind it when you believe it. Well, that's just the way I am, and I can't change. See, that's more than logic. There's an emotion there. Leave me alone. There's defense going up already. You know, that's just who I am, and I can't quit, and I've tried to quit. Now, you leave me alone. See, all that's in there. People are... where I come from, they're real emotional about doctrine, boy. You know how Dave says in the early days when you first start finding out truth of God, you're ready to charge hell with a water pistol. Boy, that's just the way I was. I found out, I was raised in the Southern Baptist group, and, you know, to them, tongues had passed away, and I found out, bless God, you could pray in other tongues and start praying the mysteries. And I was so excited to go. I was ready to charge hell with a water pistol. Boy, every time we'd go down to Shawnee, I'd start singling them out. And here we'd go, you know. Man, I tell you what, you can charge hell with a water pistol all you want, but after you come back with your eyebrows singed off. I found out these people had thought patterns that were empowered by emotions. Now listen, you young whippersnapper. My daddy believed this, his daddy before him believed it, and his daddy before him. Don't you be coming down here with that heresy. They're the one telling me that, it's heresy. And boy, they had thought patterns empowered by emotions. All right? Well, we are more than just a mind. Even though it says casting down logismos, casting down logic, casting down reasonings, okay? Those reasonings very often are empowered by strong emotions in you. We're not just talking doctrine like tongues and healing and salvation. What we're really talking about in this church is what you think about yourself. Long-standing patterns that we believe. Again, I'm going to use Gary. See, you could come with me with all... I was doing it myself, coming at me with all the word, you know. Gary, Romans 6. You're free from sin, okay? Puff, puff, puff. Why aren't you acting like it, Gary? Well, I don't know. The Word says I'm free. Are you free? Doesn't look like I'm free to me. Well, but the Word says you're free. See, the Word says these signs will follow them that believe, doesn't it? Yeah, but when I pray, they all die. 64 in a row. I prayed for them. All 64, they died. Now, what are you... Now, that didn't really happen. I'm using that as an example. We have people that don't know me. I didn't pray for 64 and they all died, okay? Thank God for that. Some of them got healed. Hallelujah. But what our reasonings, when you get born again, the reasonings, the way you perceive yourself and the way you perceive the world primarily has been based on your experience to that point. We're not going to be renewed by studying the world. We're not going to be renewed, really, by studying each other very much. We're going to be renewed with these weapons that Paul is talking about, these weapons that God has given to us that are mighty through Him to the pulling down of strongholds. I always think about Jericho. Why is that type and shadow in there? Here's the very first stronghold in the land. You know, the way they defeated Jericho, they didn't use that strategy on any other stronghold, did they? They had to get the mind of God for each stronghold, is what I'm saying. You're going to have to be led by God on this, step by step. For you individually, you don't even know yourself the way God knows you. He knows what your strongholds are. He'll put you on stuff like there was a season in my life where He put me on a newspaper fast. I used to read newspapers, man. I just had to know it. This was, you know, long before the internet or anything. And I had to know what was going on, man, you know. Put me on a newspaper fast for, I forget how many, like 30 days or something. I've hardly ever read one since. Now I have to watch it, though, because the internet is out there. I got this iPhone now. I have to be careful. I'm over there Fox News all the time, you know. I've got to be careful. Like Mark said this morning, you got to be careful. Taproots can grow back. You can get free of something if you start messing around with it again. That taproot can grow back again. I don't want any of that to grow again. All right, let's go back into this word here. It says, casting down imaginations, your reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When it says, let's do it this way. You've got a new man on the inside of you. Are you convinced of that? There is a creature, a spirit on the inside of you. If you're born again, there is a spirit from God on the inside of you that is righteous, created righteous and holy. Now, when you pray in tongues, to be honest with you, that's the creature right there that's set down in the schoolroom of the Holy Ghost. And it's your new nature in communication with the Holy Spirit. Not only is He teaching your spirit doctrine and truth and that type of maturing you, growing you up, but He's also imparting knowledge about your calling. It's really communication between God the Holy Spirit and your reborn human spirit. Now that's why the mind is left out of that. The soul, the reasoning part, the part that has to be renewed. It has to be set, you know, I use the example all the time. It's like the mind has to bring a chair and sit down outside the curtain of the Holy of Holies. And so your spirit man goes in there and it's having a good time talking and fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost, but your mind is just all bored, you know, wishes that it would have brought Field and Stream or something, you know, to read, because it doesn't know what's going on in there. And if it did know, it'd make you quit praying, probably, because you're praying counter purpose to a lot of the mind's desires, see? But really, as your spirit is edified and instructed and matured, it's really, I have found over the years, most of the time, it's my own spirit that begins teaching my mind. So that day that I found out, for example, this is just one, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying, what didn't even have the question up before God, what is my calling? If you would have asked me, I probably would have told you, well, I'm not sure, I kind of got a feeling I'll pastor a church someday. Just because, I guess, just the way I was brought up. Only, you know, anyway. And just out of nowhere, seemed to me. It didn't come out of nowhere. I'd been praying in tongues. My spirit had been in communication with the Holy Spirit. And suddenly I hear, the Lord has not called you to pastor, and He never will. So, you know, the next question after that is, well, what did He call me to do? What am I? And He said, that's when He told me I was a teacher. And I had to go find it in the Word, which we looked at it last time. Apostle, prophet, pastor. No, prophet, evangelist, I think. Anyway, pastor, teacher. So pastors, all the pastors I know, teach. But there is such a thing as a teacher that does not pastor. I had to find that out. Now see, that was information for my head at that point. The whatever line there is in me, information passed from my spirit. My spirit received it from the Holy Ghost. Then my spirit passed that information to my mind. I'm renewed. In that area, I'm renewed if I choose to believe it. Now, I've had opportunities, and I could even do it today if I let the devil play with my mind. I could start pastoring a church. Would God bless it? Sure He would. You can't even give a cup of cold water in my name, He said, and lose your reward. He would bless it. People would get saved there. People would get healed there. It probably would always be relatively small. I don't know if that's for sure or not. And I would be somewhere out on the fringes, out on the edges of God's permissive will. He'll let you do whatever you choose to do. He is not a dictator. He will not force you. He would let me do that. His hand of blessing would be on it. But it would be somewhere around that 30-fold walk, you know, maybe. It sure would not have... I would not be in the center of His will. The point I'm trying to make there, even after your mind receives knowledge, after your mind has been renewed to more of the truth than you were before, do you know it's still up to you whether you're going to walk in that or not? Yes, sir. This literally happened. This was more than 20 years ago. We were having a different Bible study at the time. And there was this friend of mine, him and his wife, and they came to the service. And y'all know I'm not one to prophesy very often, personal prophecies. I'm just not prone to do that very much. But if the Lord says do it, then I'll do it. That particular night, how precise is this? The Lord said to him, "You're going to get offered a job in Kansas. It's not the Lord. It's a diversion. Don't take it." Is that plain enough? I think something like, quickly, you're going to receive this offer quickly. A job opportunity in Kansas. It's a deception. It's not the Lord. Don't take it. Within 2 weeks, he got offered a job in Overland, Kansas. What did he do? Took it. But why? Logismos. It was paid more money. There was opportunity for him to become a partner with that company. He would have all the benefits. Everything in the natural. Everything you could want. Perfect. Moved his family up there. Everything went fine for about 6 months. By the end of 2 years at least, it might have been quicker than that, but I know for sure by the end of 2 years, he was an alcoholic. He was divorced. Family was all broke up. And he continued in that state for the next 20 years. Now, just because you receive it, see, the Lord has more than one way, more than one weapon to help renew your mind. Sometimes it's prophecy. If you can't get, that's really kind of God's last resort. If you'll pray yourself, you'll probably hear from Him, like I did about the pastoring thing. And see, since then, I've had prophecies in the opposite direction. I mean, you know, there's lots of them. Oh, yeah, yeah. I see thou pastoring a big church, and I see the steeple and all the people. Anyway. Well, and bless their darling hearts. They're not trying to do anything wrong, but I know that that's coming out of their good intentions. That's not really the mind of God, see? So, I'm looking around the room, see, and there's not many novices here. I know most of you. And so when Sue and I first started coming, we didn't know beans from bananas. Can you relate to that? You know, and say, that's a bean, that's a banana. Can you tell the difference? No. When you're so dumb you can't tell beans from bananas, that's about the way we were. So we hung, now we trusted, boy, you know, we could tell that there was something happening. Dave and God had something going on, okay? Man, I don't care if he'd call a line for hangnails, we got in it. We're hoping upon hope he'll have a word for us. None of y'all have ever done that, I know. And what's amazing is that, sure enough, we'd get a word almost every time. And that was usually encouraging. It was usually kind of vague in the sense of, he didn't say, drive two blocks down and do so and so. You know, it was usually, but it was always, it was good. Some of them, as time went on though, and we did the message, they got fewer and fewer in between. And then I still remember the day I was standing right about here. Dave, this is about where I was, and Dave came by, and he started to pray for us. Sue was with me, and he says, "Oh." He said, "Well, the Lord's showing me now from this point on, He won't be giving me very many words for you. Because at this point, you're accountable. You've come to the place where you can hear Him for yourself. Now, He says He may use me as a witness to verify something. But you've graduated to another level now. So, and boy, from that point on, I could count on, in all these years, I could count on one hand the words that we've gotten through Pastor Dave. And sometimes I'm almost like, please, God, please. Y'all have never sat out here and said, please, God, let Him call me out. Y'all have never done that, right?
No.
Nobody's ever done that.
No.
In the old days, in the first couple of years, it worked. Now I don't work at all. It just goes right past me to the other guy, you know, every time, you know. He gets that little new sheep that started a week ago, and that's the one he gives the word to, you know. See, you can't really be led by prophecies through other people.
Yeah.
There is a legitimate office of a prophet today, but it's not the same as it was in the Old Testament. That your average person, your normal Joe Blow believer and Mary Wallpaper believer, they didn't have the access to God in the same way that you have today. You've got the Spirit of the living God access, direct access to the throne of God. See? It's just a matter of practicing and doing what Dave teaches here until you start tuning in. You find the place on the dial where He speaks. That's just that simple. Okay. I don't know why he got, but prophecy is one way. Yes, yes, sir. I keep bringing me back to this central point. The central point of tonight. How do I say that, Lord? See, we keep thinking renewing the mind is that once you find out, that's it. That's only part of it. The part he's focusing on tonight is once you receive that information, then you have to act on that information. See, that's the thing, because he's never going to force you. In the same way, if I chose to, I could go start a little church somewhere, be knowing for sure that I'm directly opposing God's will. That's not exactly what he called me to do. But I could go do that, live the rest of my life doing that. God would bless it to a certain degree. Die and go to heaven and get a measure of reward. But it's sure not going to be fulfilling what he called me to do. Renewing of the mind is obtaining the information and then choosing to walk in it, even if that means real hell for your flesh. Now that's where the real warfare is.
Amen.
See? There's a war that leads up to your decision, and then there's a war after you make that decision. And I use the withdrawals all the time. Boy, that day was, making a decision was bad enough. I'd like for it to have been over that day. But making the decision is when the war really began. Yes, sir. I use that one all the time because it's easy. It was the same thing with our finances. The way that the Lord called us to operate in ministry, I don't know. I still yet don't know of any other ministry at the time. Now, there's more now that's kind of operating that way. But at the time, the way He told us to do it, I never heard of any such thing in my life. There wasn't anybody else doing that I knew of at the time. You talk about opportunities. The problem was, I'd prayed enough to know what he said. My mind was renewed to what he said. You could not beat that part out of me with rifle butts. But the devil was determined to make my circumstances so horrible that I'd rebel against what he said anyway. Or use this. Well, that must not have been him. I knew it was him. But the devil will come with circumstances to the point even you begin to wonder, did I really hear him? Yeah, probably. You know. And that war went on for years before we ever started turning the corner on that. And it's still yet never been. I could have always made more money every year than I've made in ministry. You know, I could have. Sue and I used to make good money. The two of us, we could make good money in the world. I could always go out and make more money than what we've lived on. At any point, what I'm saying is I could renew my mind in the wrong direction. Would you call that backsliding? Go back to what I had before? Don't you? I just love all these shouting messages he gives me. Everybody just, amen, Brother Gary. That's the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. The weapons. What are the weapons of our warfare? Everything we've been talking about for 6 months. Praying in tongues is one of those weapons. Boy, I mean, you are praying the very mysteries of everything Christ is in you, through you, and to you. Confession, well, meditation of the Word. I thank God for the day I learned how to meditate the Word in whole images. Thank God I've been delivered from single verses. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Where the preachers will take a verse out of context and make it say something that God never said. That meditation of the Word is a wonderful weapon to renew your mind. A confession of the Word is a wonderful tool. Even fasting, you'll learn more about warfare real quick. You'll start finding out who's boss in here. Let's see. Yeah, I'm the boss. Yeah, we'll see about your emotions. You start fasting, we'll see who's the boss. Okay? Because they're going. The good thing about fasting is you can start that war anytime you want. I think I'm the boss here. What I say goes. Okay, fast for a few days. We'll see what happens. See how easy it is on you. Find out. All right. Now, go back to Ephesians just for a minute. I hope I can say this tonight better than I did today. I'll be able to say it next time better than I do tonight. This is the way teaching is. I'm finally getting a little more light on the armor. Okay? After all this time, we started off kind of on the armor. And now we're coming back around to the armor of God. And y'all could tell me, you know what it is, put on the whole armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and all of those pieces of the armor. But when you really start trying to put that on and go into real warfare, the enemy is going to win unless our minds... See, I'm not saying it right again. Let's read it first. I'm not saying it wrong. I'm just not saying it right. I'm not saying it the way he's trying to get it across to you. So let's read it here in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles," and that means strategies, "of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Okay? "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Now let's start looking at the pieces. The loins girt about with truth. "Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," that's 6, "which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now, I'll try it again. Here we've got these pieces of the armor. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, speaking God's Word, and all prayer. Got that? How you put that on has got everything to do with renewing the mind. We're not walking in enough truth. And we're not going to be walking in more truth until our minds are renewed more to the truth. There, I said it better that time. You see what I'm saying? It's like, oh yeah, put on the armor. In kindergarten, in Sunday school, they had us literally go through the motions. That's fine, but that's not how you put it on. Let's talk about righteousness. Now, we taught on the breastplate of righteousness. These things are hard to say. See, I can edit this on the tape and not make nearly so long a pause. I'm struggling. You can tell when you're right at the edge of what you know. Paul struggled with this. Philippians chapter 3. He says, I used to have a righteousness of my own. He says, I lived my whole life. Everything about my life, I was trying to live a righteous before God. I'm Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin. Concerning righteousness, a Pharisee. You remember that? He's going through all of the things that he did, trying to be righteous before God. But when his mind became renewed to the righteousness which is of God, through Jesus Christ, he says, all that I spent my whole life trying to accomplish, I count it but dung. You know what that is? A waste pile fit for nothing. Fit all of that, my whole life, everything I tried to do to live righteous, that's not worth anything. But the righteousness which I have of God, that's the life I'm trying to live now. The very fact that we have trouble articulating it lets me know there's more about this righteousness that my mind has to be renewed to. I can say certain things like you can say certain things. But if we're going to go into the enemy's camp the way that Joshua and Israel went into the enemy's camp and literally took the ground, we're not going to be able to do it without that breastplate on. That breastplate of righteousness has got... there's a renewal of the mind which is going to cause a renewal of our life. We're not going to be the same person then that we are now. His righteousness will come. I don't think Paul struggled with the same things I struggle with, because his mind was renewed to the righteousness he had received, who he really was through that new creature in Christ. I said it a little better that time. I'll do better the next time. But this, it's the renewing of the mind in all of these areas. What is the truth? Our minds have got to be renewed to think what Thy Word is truth. Righteousness. Peace. Real faith. Salvation. That's got everything to do with the helmet. That's really got everything to do with your mind. It's as our mind is renewed. You can't put on this armor without the renewing of the mind. You can't. You can hear about it. Yes, sir. This is it. I'm going to close with this because I can't. I'll know better. I'm going to keep praying too. I'm on this journey with you. Amen. I'm doing the best that I can. You can tell I'm trying. Let me say it this way. See, when you really get into the war like the one our brother was in, when it's life and death, and you're doing everything you know to do, and everybody in the room is doing everything they know to do, and the enemy wins, I don't think we would have got any attaboys. I'm not taking away. I'm putting myself with you. I don't think we'd have got any attaboys. Oh, you all did good. I think we'd have got the same thing that they got that rode all night, toiled all night, and we did everything we knew how to do. I think we would have got, how is it that you have no faith? Well, I don't know how it is that I have, that happened. All I know is I'm not going to let the sun go down on my wrath. I'm going to keep on praying, meditating, renewing the mind. Bless God, we're not going to lose the next one.
Amen.
We're not going to lose the next one or the next one after that. And the day is going to come now in Matthew 15. We're going to have our Matthew 15 experience. Where they brought the multitudes, the lame, the blind, the crippled. And it doesn't matter. And it says in many others, it didn't matter whether it was muscular dystrophy, what it was. They cast him down at his feet and he healed them all. Let's keep pressing towards that mark. Yes. That's all I know to do. Yes. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
To be continued. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's got to do with the renewing of the mind. I know that.